Well, we've been in the middle of a sermon series these past few weeks, and today will be the final part, part four of the series. And it's an interesting title on purpose, entitled, Who Cares? You know, who cares? I mean, I'm going through all this stuff, I'm facing these things, but really, who cares about what I'm facing? And we've read and we've learned that Jesus cares. You know, whether anybody else does or not, and there are people and people that here that love you and care for you and want to show God's love to you. But if there's ever any doubt, you can always count on the love and the care of Jesus Christ. He cares. We talked the first week about believing the truth of God's word. The second week we talked about staying focused on Jesus. He is our hope. He's our strength. The third week, last week, we talked about receiving God's healing emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, receiving God's healing. And today we'll cover the fourth and final principle I believe that the Lord has given me today. We find this in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to your word. You not only speak it, but you prove it. And Lord, you've proven it over and over again for thousands of years. And God, you're faithful today, just as you were the day that you created this earth. So Lord, thank you that you're with us today, that you lead us, guide us, direct us, give us your wisdom. Lord, our hearts and our minds and our spirits are open to you. May we understand you deeply, Lord, and follow you in all of our ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever walked into a restaurant and you order your food and you sit down? Of course, we're not doing that as much as we were back in January, but we're still doing it a little bit. Walk into a restaurant, you order your food, you sit down and you eat, and you leave and you realize that the smell of that food has followed you for several hours now. Has anybody ever? And so there are a few of my choice restaurants, Southern Soul, Twin Oaks, Gary Lee's Market, Max Barbecue. You see kind of a trend there. Barbecue, one of my favorite foods. And you walk in and you order and you eat it, and lo and behold, until you get home and get your clothes off and shower, you're going to smell like that the rest of the day. And while you're sitting there eating that food, it's wonderful and you're devouring it and it's great, but 4 or 5 hours later, it's not quite as appetizing as it was at noon. So those things stick with us. It's kind of that way in life too. We go through life and we experience things, and we go through things in life, and things kind of have a tendency to stick to us and stick with us, to turn sour and to get ugly. And before we know it, we're carrying those burdens years later, 20 years later. You know, you talk to some people that have gone through some heartache in their life, and they carry those things for years and years and talk about it as though it happened yesterday. And so a lot of times, God says that he wants to take those cares. He wants us to cast those cares upon him, but we've got to let them go first. You know, it's kind of like our grandchildren trying to take a toy out of their hand. I mean, they've got a death grip on their hand. They don't necessarily want to let it go. And you pry it out of their hand. They've got to let it go before you can take it. Miss Cassie, you know you deal with that all the time, don't you, with children? And so there's a point of us letting go of those things that hinder us, letting go of those things that are hurting us, that are holding us back from God's blessing. And so God wants to bless us, but before we can receive God's blessing, it's kind of like what Elder Roth said a while ago, that two-letter word, if. If. See, there's something that we've got to do, and I want to talk about today those two things. First of all, letting go. It's difficult to shake those things, but God will give us the strength to let go. We've got to trust him to remove the things in our life that shouldn't be there. And we've got to trust him that he has the right things for us to embrace. So we let go of the things and the cares of our world and our life so that we can embrace the things that are more important, that he knows is more important to us. Paul had some things in his life. Paul had some things in his life that he had to let go of too. Paul was just like us, except for maybe a little worse. Paul did some bad things, and he had to let go of things before he could embrace the goodness of God. And then lo and behold, after Paul let go of those things and turned to God, God used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Imagine that. God used Paul after he let go. God couldn't fully use Paul while Paul was holding on to his past and those things that were hurting him. Paul references this in Romans chapter 7 and verse 15. He said, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that's what I do. Is it, can anybody relate to that? That you tend to do the things that you don't really want to do. You tend to hold on to those things that you really know you're not supposed to. And those things that you want to embrace and you know you should embrace, you have a difficult time of embracing it because it doesn't give you the security that you think you need. It doesn't look solid enough. You don't know the outline of it. You don't know the process of it. You don't know the longevity of it. But we should know that everything that Jesus does, he does well. And everything that's found in Jesus is solid. He's our solid rock. So Paul was able to recognize that there were things in his life. Scientists have discovered that there are certain days of the week that men are prone to struggle more. So you men take note. There are certain days of the week. It's all the days of the week starting with T. Tuesday, Thursday, today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday. We struggle every day, don't we? But Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness." Aren't you glad? We don't serve a God that can't sympathize with our weakness. He knows that we're going to be weak at times. He knows that we're going to struggle. He knows there's going to be things that try to stick to us and try to sway us and try to pull us away. But was in all points tempted as we are, Hebrews 4:15 says, "yet without sin." Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus is for you. He's not against you. Jesus loves you or we wouldn't be here. He created us knowing that there would be times, and as I just named 7 days of the 7 days of the week, there's times that we struggle, that we're weak, and that we need God every moment of the day. But God's word encourages us to let go of our cares. It doesn't mean we don't have cares. It doesn't make them go away. It doesn't ignore them. We have cares. We have burdens. But he encourages us to let them go and to embrace him. Jacob, as we know in the Bible, Jacob had a dark past. Jacob had some bad issues. We're not going to cover all those today. We know, go back and study Jacob and the things that he did in his life. But Jacob ended up at a place of desperation. That's a good place to be. Sometimes we have to get to the end of our rope to let go of it. And that's all that God was trying to get us to do in the first place. Let go of our agenda. Let go of our rope. Let go of our pain and our agony and the issues in life. Let go. Well, Jacob found himself there at the end of himself and at the end of everything else he had. And the Bible says that he was alone. He found himself alone, just him and God. And so we see the story in Genesis chapter 32. We'll take an excerpt of this. Genesis 32 verse 24 says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man," notice that's capital M, who do you think that would be? God. "And a man wrestled with him until the break of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' So he said to him, 'What is your name?' Jacob said, 'My name is Jacob.' And he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob.'" Notice that God changed his name. We'll reference that in a moment. "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, 'Tell me your name, I pray.' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask about my name?' And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means encounter, for I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved." We see in this short excerpt of this story of Jacob's life that two things happened here. Jacob had to let go of some things and Jacob had to embrace God. He let go and he embraced God. When we let go of the things that bind us, Jesus promises us that he will be with us to lead us into greater and greater things. There's never an instruction that God gives us that he doesn't have a greater blessing following it. But we've got to follow the instruction first. That's hard to do. We can get so wrapped up in what's going on in this world that we can't completely trust God. We can't completely focus on God. We get so wrapped up in our society, the things we get so wrapped up in the corona and wrapped up in problems and situations and dilemmas, and we get focused on that and we lose track and sight of how great and awesome God is. We get so entangled in that thing. But I believe that even through the times that we're living in today, there's a higher place that God wants to bring us to. There's a greater blessing that God wants to reveal to us. Well, how can he do that? Because he's God. You know, God has done great and marvelous things over all these years, and it's usually when we find ourselves at a place of, what are we going to do? God is still God when we're on the mountaintop. God is still God when everything is perfect and everything's great. But it seems like that we're a little more place of desperation when we're at the end of ourselves, end of life, like Jacob was. We have a tendency to turn more toward God than we do in the times that are great. I want to spend the rest of my time with you in these next few moments talking about 3 points found in Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11 gives 3 points that God wants to exchange your care for. He wants to give you these three things, greater, many more. But these three things is found in Psalm 16:11. It says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Does anybody care about those three things in your life right now? I think we all do. And so if we look in detail at these three ones, the path of life. The path of life. Okay, so Jacob, God had the path of life set for Jacob. Lo and behold, he punches him in the hip and he walks with a limp. Okay, God's going to give us a path of life, but yet he's going to take something from us. Many times there's things in our life that we need to give up that God is encouraging us to let go of so that he can take it. It was after the situation with God that his hip was out of joint that God spoke to Jacob, and Jacob was able to receive God's blessing. And so that limited physical movement freed Jacob in his spiritual movement. Catch that. Sometimes we're limited physically, but God wants to bring us to a higher level of spiritual. See, that's really all that matters. These 80, 90, 100 years that we're here, 120 years for some that claim to live 120 years old. However many years we're here, that's really what God is preparing us for, is to draw closer to him. And even in our work, you know, we can't hide in a closet and pray all day long. Wouldn't that be great? We just hide away and somebody brings us food and we're taken care of, don't have to worry about anything. Everything is great. But that's not going to happen. We live life and we struggle and we see how we're going to make these things happen, and we fulfill our responsibilities. We raise a family. We work. And then we have health things that we face. All these things in life that God is saying, listen, I'm the answer. Just pull closer to me. Just trust me to do that thing. So God taught Jacob in that situation. And I pray that he doesn't have to do that with us today. Pop us in the hip and make us to walk with a limp. And oh God, there you are. So he wants us to see him. Even though we may be physically limited, we can be spiritually free. I'm reminded as I was studying and praying of the word that Crystal gave last Sunday morning. This is what she said. God sometimes allows storms into your life not to hinder your blessing, but to open the path for your blessing. God sometimes allows storms into your life not to hinder your blessing, but to open the path for your blessing. Sometimes God wants to remove things in our life that's holding back the blessing that he wants to give us. And only you know what those things are. Jacob walked differently once he had an embrace with God. Jacob thought differently once he had that embrace with God. It changed his life. Because he let go of some things and he embraced God. God wanted to give Jacob, just like you and I, a path of life. A path of life. And a path of life is a lot more than physical life. He wants to give us physical life, and he came to do that. But he wants us to give us a higher level of life, that we trust him, that we listen to him, and that we follow after him, and we become stronger no matter what we face in life. God won't bring the next phase in our life until we let go of some things that's stopping and hindering that blessing. some burdens that we're carrying today, God can't bring the blessing until we're able to let go of some burdens that we're carrying today. So God wanted Jacob to rely on his strength. See, God's strength is limitless. God's strength is always there. We can always rely on God's strength. And Jacob found that out. He found out that he could rely on the strength of God. God's strength never, ever fails. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 3 through 5. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That your faith, we'll talk about faith next Sunday, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Our faith in God is important. And our faith in God cannot be understood by our human intellect. We can't understand the faith in God. It's just we have faith in God. We trust God. We can't describe it. You can't explain it. Another blessing that we see here in Psalm is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. If you spend every day of your life listening to the news, you cannot truly experience joy. There's no way you can listen to news all day and have joy. They can't give what they don't have. God has joy. And our only fullness of joy, there's joy. You know, we can have joy when things are great. Wow, I got that bonus at work. That's great. But you let something happen and our joy deflates. That balloon is popped and it's all gone. And until something else becomes exciting in our life, then we get joy again. Well, that's not the joy that God has for us. He wants to give us fullness of joy. That fullness of joy that God is talking about is not based on circumstances. It's not based on the bonus or not bonus. It's not based on sickness or health. It's not based on relationships being perfect versus relationships having problems. That joy is based on God. It's based on His goodness. And only God can give that kind of joy. Only God can fulfill the joy in us that it is there no matter what we face. And so He wants to give us fullness of joy, yes. While we're here on earth, He wants to give us life, the path of life, and fullness of joy. God desires to give us that. A new excitement that there's greater things to come. Some would say, can we get on to 2021 already? Can we get past this? We've got 4.5 months left. Can we not? Let's get on with the program here and get past all this. But listen, if we can just realize that God is doing great things even below the surface, God is doing great things even behind the clouds, God is doing great things even beyond what we can see or imagine, if we trust that and know that, we can have joy because our joy is based in Him, not in what we see. A greater outlook than what the news describes. I mean, it's doom and gloom if you listen to news today. It'll scare you. It'll frighten you, it'll make you nervous, and it'll make you go without sleep. But listen, God is beyond all that. And that could be your vice today. That could be exactly what's stopping you from receiving God's blessing because you're so in tune with what the world's saying that you have no clue with what God is saying. How can we have joy? We can identify joy by knowing God. Identify joy by knowing God. And did you know that you can be known for joy because your identity can change once you realize that you are carrying God? You are a carrier of Jesus Christ. And if you're a carrier of Jesus Christ, the same joy that He imparts, the same joy that's in Him, can be in you. Why? Because He lives in you. Every attribute of His personality, every goodness of His personality, as His peace, His joy, all those things that Jesus possesses, if you carry Jesus Christ, if I carry Jesus Christ, we can have the same thing. Our identity needs to change. Mike is limited, but God is unlimited. And so that's the reason why we see in the Word of God, we see the importance. I mentioned a while ago, seeing that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. See, God had to physically change his name so that Jacob was not known by Jacob. Jacob was known by God. He wants to change our identity today. Yeah, you're still Rick. I'm still Mike, Robin, Wendy, Crystal. We're still known by our name, But our identity will change as soon as we come in connection with God. We'll be known as a servant of God, as a child of God. And so we carry his identity. We don't have to, you know, if I were to change my name to something else today, that it doesn't matter. What matters is what changes in the heart. Changing my name will not affect me unless I receive Jesus Christ. Once I receive Jesus Christ in my heart, then my life will be changed. My identity will be changed. See, if we're not careful, we'll be hung up on what we've been identified with in the past. You get me? The mistakes that we've made, some of us have made a few mistakes. All those who are perfect, just listen to me for a second while I talk to us imperfect ones. Those mistakes that we've made in our past, if we're not careful, we identify ourselves that way. How else do we expect somebody else to identify us? Because that's what we talk about. That's what we live. That's what we breathe is our mistakes. So God is forgetting those things. He has forgotten those things. He's forgiven us. And so we have the identity of Christ. So those things are gone. We're not to be identified by those things anymore. Yes, that was then, but today is now. Alcoholism runs rampant in my family. My mom's side of the family, my grandmother, her dad, my grandmother's dad, my mom's dad was an alcoholic. My grandmother married an alcoholic. Her brothers were alcoholics. One was a very successful businessman in Wilmington, North Carolina. And his wife is still living, but one day he was out on the road and was just traveling. He'd get in his car and just drive. Matter of fact, after Chris and I were married, the memory of him popped up the other day. It's kind of where this story comes from. Is I was thinking about him the other day. An old song come on, I don't know if I should call it or not. An old Eagles song, Hotel California. That song came on, and Uncle Odie always had a cassette in that T-Bird. When he came down to see us that weekend, he had that cassette popped in that T-Bird, and Chris and I jumped in the front seat with him. That's when they had Long Beach seats in the car, and he popped that armrest up, and we three of us sat in that car and rode around while he was here. We hadn't been married very long, maybe just a few months. And so he was a very successful man, had a lot of great things going for him, and had thought he had control over the alcohol, and lo and behold, it wasn't long after that, he was crossing the road, and a truck hit him and killed him. Drunk, had no clue, had no what was going on. But see, I'm not identified by my bloodline. I'm identified by his bloodline. I'm not identified by the things in the past that I should be identified. You know, if you were doing a background check, putting together your family history and that sort of thing, that would be a big thing in my past, my bloodline. And I guess that's why I say what I say. If you play with fire, you'll get burned. And so I don't even play with fire because I'll probably get burned. So I don't even play with it. But it's in my past. But if we're not careful, we identify ourselves by those mistakes and by those things in our life. And that's not what we're identified by at all. When we come to Jesus Christ, our identity changes. Right? And we're identified by him. And so when we want to experience the fullness of joy, rather than dwelling on those things of the past and those depressing moments and those mully grub times that we think about sometimes and kind of pulls us back into it, if we think about it long enough, it's like we're living it again. Rather than thinking about those things and identifying those things, identify by how great God is in your life, how faithful he is to you, how the Bible says that he sympathizes with us in our weakness. That's the God we serve. He's not beyond us. He's not over us. He's not left us. We think, well, he's 2 miles ahead of us. I'm dragging back here behind, and he'll never know that I'm back here. No, he's right there with you. He sympathizes in our weakness. The fullness of joy can only come by knowing who God is, knowing God's identity, and that same identity he wants to pour into us. The fullness of joy comes through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. See, once we come to Christ, we are a new creation. It goes on to say that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So it's right here in the Word that when we come into contact with him, when we receive his identity, we become a new person, we become a new creation. We could think differently. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have struggles. Of course we have struggles. Of course we have things that we deal with. And that's the reason I'm bringing this word today, because we all have struggles from time to time. We're here, you know? It's okay. But just know the truth of God's word, and that is that the old things have passed away. You're not identified by that thing anymore. That thing in your past, whether you did it, whether it was your fault or somebody else's fault, it's irrelevant. All things become new. And the last promise that we see in Psalm 16:11 says, pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore? You mean that life could be good from this point forward? Absolutely. Pleasures forevermore. We just read in Genesis 32:30, so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Well, I'm sure that was just a great excuse for Jacob to celebrate and to thank God over and over. God, you've preserved my life. God has preserved our lives today. There have been things that you have faced in your life that you could have got caught up in and could have been sniffed out. You could have been gone. Whether it was a car wreck, whether it was a downed airplane, whether it was a medical issue. Some of you have made it through cancer. You're still here. You're surviving. God has preserved your life. It's the encounter with God that changes our life to give us pleasures forevermore. That's not just when we get to heaven. Well, okay, one day when I get to heaven, I'll have pleasures. No, God, He wants you to have pleasures today. This day, August 16th, 2020, and for every day for the rest of your life. Now, when we get to heaven, we won't have to deal with all the things we deal with today. We were kidding yesterday with Miss Carolyn about Bill's probably up there with Pastor Don playing golf right now. He probably has his own golf course. The things that you enjoy on earth, this is the way I believe. The things that you enjoy on earth that God has created, I believe that it'll be many times more perfect over there and you'll have it. Our little 7-year-old Dotson, Indiana Jones Murray, and our little 2-year-old Fluffy Puff Rocky Balboa Murray, that's Mama's boy, Dotson at home. Those two boys, God created them, and I believe they'll be in heaven too. We won't have to clean up a mess, but they'll be in heaven, right? And so God wants us to have pleasures forevermore. The things that make you happy here, He wants to give you more of it. Pleasures forevermore, today, tomorrow, every day, and when we get to heaven too. Except it'll be without blemish. And so He's preparing us for that day here. We can have pleasures forevermore, no limitations in life. No limitations to do what He's called us to do. Pleasures are endless at the point of God rescuing us. At the point that we receive God, and God rescue me. God take me out of this place that I'm in, this mully grub, this state of depression, this state of unbelief. At that point of Him, of you embracing Him and Him rescuing us, at that point there's pleasures forevermore. See, there's a difference between temporary pleasures and permanent pleasures. The Bible says that there is temporary pleasures in sin, but that leads to death. So see, Satan has formed a counterfeit to God's pleasures. God's pleasures are forever. The devil's pleasures are temporary. And so if we're not careful, we get entangled in a pleasure and say, wow, this is a great pleasure. But if it's not from God, it's not forever. It's just temporary. It's like a flash in the pan. But God's pleasures are forevermore. There's nothing temporary to it. It's permanent. It's a permanent pleasure. It's like His joy. Once we receive it, it sticks. God's pleasures lead to Him. The devil's pleasures lead away from God. A great biblical example of pleasures forevermore is found in the book of Luke, where we see the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to get into that today. But if we look at the prodigal son, pleasures forevermore, see, the boy had to leave his dad. He took his inheritance and blew every dime, every penny of it. He found out that those pleasures that he thought was going to give him all the things in life that he wanted, he found out that they were temporary. Once the money was gone and he was sleeping with the hogs, he came to his senses. Oh my, what have I done? And so sometimes we come to that place in life. We're in a temporary state of pleasure and God's calling us back to Him. Did you know when the boy found out that there were permanent pleasures? It's when he came back and embraced his father. So he had to let go. He had to let go of his past. He had to let go of the mistakes that he had done. He had to let go of the things that he wished he could go back and redo, undo. That's a lot like us today. We can't go back and undo or redo, but because of God, because of His grace, His love, and His mercy, He forgives us. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we see in the book of Luke chapter 15 where the son wasted the inheritance. He was focused on self-living. He was focused on doing his own thing, but he came to his senses. He came back and embraced his father. I'll say today that's what we need to do. We need to come in humility back to the Father. Say, God, I need to turn around. I need to let go of those things. And I would venture to say that most of us here today, there are some things in our life that we need to let go of. We've got a death grip on it. We don't want to let go of it. But God's saying, let me have that thing. That thing is what's holding you back. That thing is what's hindering you from receiving pleasures forevermore. We come to God in humility, just like the son did to the father. Come back in humility. I'm sorry for what I've done. And what kind of celebration did that father give? It was major. It's the same celebration that Jesus wants to give for us today. I'm not saying you're in sin. I'm not saying you're away from God. I'm not saying you're off the deep end. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there's a greater life of blessing for each one of us as we let go of some things today and as we embrace God. He has so much more for us. That many times we focus on the bad things in life. We focus on the things that aren't going well. And there's going to always be things that aren't going well. There will always be things that you and I could change and make right. I mean, our way is perfect, right? My opinion is the only opinion. And so if we could just change it, I heard somebody say today, well, if things were different, then I would. So we get caught up in if that or if this. You know what? If we could change it, there'd be something else. When can we come to the place of trusting God and embracing him and saying, God, it doesn't matter what happens. I mean, the children of Israel were right at the gates of the promised land. And how long did it take them to get there? A long time. Why? Because they were focused on everything else but God. There are distractions in our world today. But Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5 says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What are you trusting in today? What are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in what happens in November? If it happens this way, everything's going to be good. If it happens this way, everything's going to be bad. What are you trusting in? The goodness of God is not based on the election in November. The power of God is not based on the election in November. Now, we all have our, you know, I encourage you to vote according to the Word of God. I encourage you to look at the points that these candidates are standing for. And I can tell you they're both imperfect. So we're not voting for a perfect man, but we are voting on the principles of God's Word. I would encourage you to look at God's Word and the principles of that. But even if things don't go the way that we think they should go, God is still God. We do our part. We do everything in our part and everything in our power. And you've been given power to vote and to speak out. And we need to do that. But in these last days that we're living in, there will be a falling away. And the falling away will come by people being distracted and looking at things instead of God. Yes. A falling away will be done even with the best intended people that love God, that are distracted and they're depressed and they're caught up in the cares of this life rather than in the faith and trust of God. And you know what? I thank God for every single one of you. We're brothers and sisters. The same blood in my veins, the same blood in your vein. It doesn't matter color, background, nationality. It doesn't matter one bit. What matters is that we're all born of Jesus Christ. Had he not given us life today, we would not be here. So we can love one another, not based on color and background and all those type things. We can love one another because we're brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And so once we understand that and the power of that, we can be focused on one person, and that is Jesus Christ. We work together. We hold hands with one another. We stand in unity We pray, we cry out to God, but we don't let the cares of this life take us away from the blessing of God. We have power to do that. We have been given the privilege to make that decision today, to be focused on the things of the world or to be focused on the things of God. God wants to take our cares. He wants to turn our cares into joy. He wants to turn our cares into pleasures forevermore. He wants to do that, but we first got to let go. You've got to let go. I've got to let go. It's amazing how God works. It's amazing how God works. Just this morning, God has burned this message and word on my heart. And Crystal and I, we rarely ever turn on the TV on Sunday morning. And if we turn it on, it's going to be music or, you know, I'll go to YouTube and just punch in worship music and it's just blaring through the whole house. And so I will do that once or twice a year, but I haven't done that in ages. But this morning, we were getting ready and I just reached up and turned the TV on and there was some music playing and she said, I wonder if there's any preaching on so-and-so. So I said, I don't know, so I punched it in. And so I just left it there and we were getting ready. And lo and behold, this preacher read the scripture that I'm reading you today in 1 Peter. I said, well, what are the chances of that? The very same sermon I've been preaching now for the fourth week, I turn on the TV and this guy's preaching it. If I was calling his name, you would know it. And he said something that I've never seen. The word that we read in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him. The word care, it's interpreted as anxiety. Now I knew that. Casting all your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. But the next thing I didn't see is that in the very center of anxiety is the letter I. And he said, when he was praying, he was struggling, and he was being open and honest with his congregation. He said he realized that when he was praying and saying, God, how can I do this? How can I get through this? How can I do this? God said he popped that eye out when he looked at the word anxiety and said, because you're concentrating on you instead of me. And that hit me in my gut this morning. And I felt like I needed to share with you that if we'll get our eyes off of us, if we'll get our eyes off of our problems, if we'll get our eyes off of our anxiety, if we'll get our eyes on him, then he's got it all planned out. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. We don't have to lose sleep at night. If we lose sleep at night, it should be because we're studying God's word. Excitement and joy bubbling up in us. My God, we don't need to lose sleep at night because things aren't going our way. We need to focus more on God. In order for us to get to our promised land, we've got to realize how big our God is. Amen. All these middly, meander, small things that we're dealing with, they don't matter. In 100 years from today, what will that matter? There'll be one thing that matters, and that is my focus on Jesus Christ. I want us to release our anxiety today. I want us to let go of the things that are controlling us today. I want us to put I aside and let's put him in the forefront. Can we do that together this morning? Let's all stand together. I feel a stirring this morning that I believe that somebody needs to hear what the Lord is saying. I would tend to say that the next phase of your life depends on your obedience of turning to God. God has blessings for you. But we've got to trust him that he's going to do what he says he will do. I'm going to ask Wendy if you'll lead us.